title of the message, and I've just partially titled the message for length, but it is Socialism in the USA, Why Socialism is Unbiblical. The next thing that I want you to do is take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 59. I feel that our nation is in the same place that we see Israel in Isaiah chapter 59, 1 through 15. Isaiah 59, 1 through 15. And there's a reason for it, and we'll be looking at that this morning and this evening. Follow along as I read this tragic portion of Scripture. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But, boy, this is a big but, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood. Boy, aren't Americans' hands defiled with blood and abortion? And your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath uttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any plead for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They contrive mischief, and that's a strong word. It's not like we think of mischief. That means they contrive serious evil and bring forth iniquity. Verse 5 says this, and they hatch cockatrice, vipers, they hatch cockatrice eggs, and weave the spider's webs. He that eateth their eggs dieth. That which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. And the reason is their works are works of iniquity. And the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. And there is no judgment, none. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night, and we are desolate, and we are in desolate places as dead men. We roar like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from God, it says, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And then verse 14. and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and iniquity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from iniquity maketh himself prey. Did you catch that? He that departeth from iniquity maketh himself prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Heavenly Father, we ask for your intervention in our wicked nation. Help us to be islands of light in a sea of darkness. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Well, as I see it, and I've been pastoring for 50 years, like never before, biblical Christianity is disappearing in the United States of America. While Christianity is not a political system, and I want you to understand that, Christianity is not a political system, Judeo-Christian values have a foundational role in this nation, beginning with the Declaration of Independence. Let me quote from our Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, you can't put a lien against them, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, our founding fathers, now don't get upset with me, but let me explain. Our founding fathers separated from church and state, but by separation of church and state, that means they didn't want America to have a national religion like England did, like Germany did, like Denmark did. But they wisely did not separate God from state. In fact, you can look into history. There was worship services held in the Capitol building numerous times throughout history. Our founding fathers acknowledged that God was the source of our rights, and in fact, they were careful to place biblical morality directly into our founding documents and laws and into our values and our culture, and they did it for a purpose. They did it so that we would not see the tyrannical rule that happened in many of the states in Europe, and the fact that they did not want totalitarianism to take hold of the United States of America. The combination of keeping Judeo-Christian religion and morality in state as opposed to just in the church was very wise. And additionally, the setting up of laws based upon those Judeo-Christian values, based on common sense and reason, contributed to America's character. And I believe that there was such a thing as American exceptionalism because of the way that they were founded upon Judeo-Christian values. Our founding fathers were religious in a new way, the Judeo-Christian way, realizing that our political and human rights come from a higher power and not from human government. We're different than so many others. They were conservative morally based upon the Bible. Now, there's still a connection between God and liberty. He is the author of it. We sing our song from time to time in the second verse, "Our Father's God, to thee, authors of liberty, to thee we sing." Turn with me to Psalm 119, 44 and 45. The 119th Psalm, the longest Psalm, in 119. We're going to get down to verse 44 and 45. And here is what the psalmist wrote. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Back to verse 44. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And then it talks about the root of liberty, the root of freedom. I will walk at liberty because I seek thy precepts. I'll just remind you of John chapter 8 and verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I believe that we realized more freedom and more liberty than any nation ever in the world is because of the nature of the founding of our United States of America. However, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Our nation finds itself in the same place as Israel in Isaiah chapter 59 that we read earlier. And here's why I say that. In 1962, the Supreme Court banned prayer in the public school. That was while I was in school. I can remember opening each day in prayer and saying the Pledge of Allegiance in the classroom. In 1963, the Supreme Court removed Bible reading from public education. You all know, because it was just recently Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, but in 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court legalized abortion, and to date, more than 60 million babies have been murdered by abortion. In 1980, the Ten Commandments were removed from the public schools, and horrendously, on June 26, 2015, homosexuality was declared that homosexual marriage is legal in all 50 states of the United States of America. And I believe it's at that point very clearly that God wrote Ichabod over this nation. The glory is departed. The only thing that has hindered the total depart of God's glory, in my opinion, is that we still support Israel. But how long will that be? I do not know. As I mentioned in my prayer, Aristotle wrote a long time ago, "Nature abhors a vacuum." Now, the principle applies to government as well. When the biblical principles and values were removed from our government, a change occurred. And I want you to understand that. A change occurred. A vacuum occurred. And they keep trying to remove more and more. They've tried to remove, so far not successful, "In God We Trust" off of our money. They've tried to stop so many Christian things. The vacuum in my mind is being filled by socialism. That's what's filling the vacuum now that biblical principles have been removed from our nation. Some of you are old enough to remember Nikita Khrushchev. Any of you remember Nikita Khrushchev? He was the premier of Russia. He said this in 1960. Khrushchev said this, "We cannot expect Americans to jump from capitalism to communism." But now listen to this. "But we can assist their elected leaders in giving small doses of socialism until they suddenly awake and find they have communism." Nikita Khrushchev, 1960. I'm alarmed. A recent Gallup poll titled "Socialism" says that socialism is as popular as capitalism among young adults in the United States. They found that 50% of young adults favor socialism. I've read a recent article since I wrote this that says 53% now favor socialism. It wasn't always that way, but it is that way today. Now, if you're going to understand what I am saying and why it's so evil, I need to define some terms for you. You know, I do that, and I want to do that, and this is where your notes pick up. The term socialism was coined by a French philosopher. His name was Henri de Saint-Simon, and he looked at it as the opposite of individualism. The use of the term was popularized in the mid to late 1800 by people like Marx, Karl Marx, Friedrich Engels. The two of them wrote the Communist Manifesto, Leon Trotsky. There was others as well. And this is where power is concentrated in the state. The Bolshevik Revolution of Russia in 1917, socialism became identified as the distinct transition phase between capitalism and communism. I want to let you grasp a little bit more of what's happening in the United States of America by defining a little bit further. Any of various economic systems, socialism is, and political theories, here it is, advocating collective government ownership and administration of the means of production and distribution of goods. Think about that. A system of society or group living in which there is no private property. Wow. Now we move on to the term communism. Communism comes from the Latin word communis, which means everything held in common. There is no private ownership of anything. The government controls the production and the consumption. And now I need to define the term capitalism for you. The term capitalism is private ownership of production of and of individuals using their own capital with the goal of their efforts being to earn profit, which get to decide, and they get to decide how to consume their profit. Russian-American philosopher, whose pen name was Ayn Rand, said this, and I want you to note this. That's why it's in a big box, or it should be in your notes. If it's not, it's in the booklet. There is no difference between communism and socialism, now listen to this, except in the means of achieving the same ultimate end. Communism's purpose to enslave men by force. Communism's goal is to enslave men by force. Socialism by vote. It is merely the difference between murder and suicide. There are clearly demonic roots of socialism. Socialists hate God. I don't care what they say. They hate God. And the socialism of our day, while it goes back further in degree, you can go back to some of the authors of it, we'll look at it a little bit later, but the roots of modern-day socialism find their origin with Karl Marx. He lived from 1818 to 1831, the date is wrong there, but he was born in 1818. Marx wrote many books and poems over his lifetime, and in these works he really revealed what he believed. It's not in your notes. And it revealed his mind towards spiritual matters, particularly towards God and the afterlife. When Marx was a very young man, he was of Jewish origin. He was enthusiastic about God before his demonic transformation. You say, what? No, Marx was deliberately at war with God, and he allied himself with the powers of darkness to accomplish his goal. You say, how do you know that, preacher? By reading his works. Let me give you just a portion from his poem called Pale Maiden. Here's what we read. Thus, heaven I forfeited. I know it full well. My soul, once true to God, is chosen for hell. That's a portion of Mark's poem called Pale Maiden. You can see the rest of it on the website. The demonic transformation is actually recorded in this poem called The Fiddler. The Fiddler. How so I plunge without fail, my blood black saber into your own soul. It says, that art God neither wants nor wists. It says, it leaps to the brain from hell's black mist, till hearts bewitched, till senses reel. Now listen to this. With Satan I have struck my deal. He chalks the sign, beats time for me, on the drum, beats time for me. I play the death march fast and free. Socialism / communism was the result of Marx's pact with the devil. That's not all. Karl Marx wanted to make and rule his own world as God. He did. A German-American philosopher, Erich Vogelin, wrote this, quote, Marx knew that he was a God creating a world. He did not want to be the creature. He wanted to see the world from the position of God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. It's clear to me that socialism is a demonically inspired system that is designed to displace God and to demolish Christianity. He had a vengeance against Christians. I look at our nation today. In our nation, socialism is rearing its hideous head by the call of liberals and progressives. Listen to this. Here's how they're trying to insert it, the call for social justice. Social justice. Social justice is the view that everyone deserves, it is his right, they say, to equal, here it is, equal distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within society. Individuality is done away with in the struggle for social justice. An example is the Black Lives Matter movement. They demand reparations for black people. They advocate the defunding of the police, and that's what they're trying to do in Minneapolis right now. If you read the papers, get rid of the police altogether. They demand an end to what they call systematic racism. And we have seen in 2020 that they are willing to burn, to loot, to riot, to press their point. As one news article put it, quote, there is definitely a Marxist-socialist connection with many of the protesters who are currently looting, burning down businesses and throwing projectiles at police in several of the major cities. Many observers have noted that the huge majority of the rioters are very young white people, mostly white. It says, what started out as a protest against police killing of black people has morphed into a type of class warfare against the system. Now, I just want to tell you something. If you really wanted to push social justice, social justice should begin in the womb. They're the weakest of all the weak. Social justice is built upon the demonic axiom of Karl Marx that says, for each according to his ability and each according to his need. You know, the Lord said, and we'll come to it later, the Lord said the poor will always be with us. I mean, that's what our Lord said. You might wonder what's wrong with for each according to their ability and each according to their need. It's because the presumably omniscient, benevolent state is the one who controls that. The presumably omniscient, benevolent state, Marxism has promised an end to class struggle, but did so by subjugating almost everyone to their officialdom, abolishing private property, and it left people hostage to government officials. And in order to get anything, you need to kowtow to their wishes. And we see this happening right now before our very eyes. People are being punished when they speak out against liberal progressivism and don't follow their narrative. The liberal progressivism, they demand conformity. Do you see what's happening to conservatives now in many places? This is what I call soft totalitarianism. Soft totalitarianism. That's where we're at right now. Hard totalitarianism is easy to spot because they'll arrest you, they'll jail you, they'll make you disappear. If you do not march into their lockstep agenda. But soft totalitarianism, let me explain that, then I got to bring things to a conclusion here. In soft totalitarianism, the political powers in control and the large cooperation and those whose technology, like Google, Twitter, etc., have become deeply embedded in our lives, punish offenders in more subtle ways. They won't publish or post their point of view. It will not appear on a news broadcast. Your ad buys will be canceled and you cannot advertise your goods or services. You are denied educational opportunities and you will find you are denied jobs and you can't even get a bank loan. I could give you illustrations of that. A soft totalitarianism is taking place right before our eyes. We're being muzzled. If you are labeled a racist, and I've been labeled that, a sexist, a homophobe, I've been labeled that, xenophobe, anti-LGBTQ, opportunities will disappear. Google, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Apple, and other mega companies, they have control of our data and they are using it against us. They are using it to socially engineer our culture and remove biblical Christianity. If they're not stopped, they will increasingly come against Christians, Christian colleges and seminary, Christian ministries, and the church. I'll quit with this example. How many of you have ever heard of Mike Lindell? I sleep on his pillow. And I like it, by the way. A prime example is Trump supporter Mike Lindell. He's the CEO of MyPillow. His goods and his products have been removed from Kohl, from Wayfair, from Bed Bath & Beyond, and there's a whole nother list of at least seven other places they have removed his products and will not sell them any longer because of his support for Donald Trump. As our nation goose steps into socialism, Christians will experience more persecution Socialists hate God. They hate Christ. They hate Christianity. And they hate Christians. So what are we to do? Preach the gospel. Pray. Speak out for freedom. Continue to be salt and light. See, they don't teach the founding documents in school anymore. They don't tell you what our nation was founded on. They don't tell you about those things. Promote biblical values. And I want you to expose socialism and Marxism for what it really is. God spared Sodom and Gomorrah, would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah if he could have found 10 righteous people. I don't know what that works out to be in the United States of America. But I do want you to wake up to see what is happening. They are trying to completely marginalize biblical Christianity, our founding documents that were based on the Judeo-Christian ethic, and conservatives. They are trying to cease letting people hear that voice. More than ever before, we need to speak out and try and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if they get saved and truly get saved, they'll understand as we go into the biblical principles this evening. Socialism is based on a materialistic worldview. We'll go through all of them, why socialism is unbiblical tonight. But we need to stand out. We need to be salt and light in our culture. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then I'll tell you what. You need the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I can tell you, socialism wants a utopia. There will be no utopia until the millennium when King Jesus reigns. And you will not see the millennium if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.